Would you believe us if we told you there is a remote island nation in Europe, stuck between the modern and ancient world?
Where many of the residents live in small communities, sometimes just a dozen, and they don't rely on supermarkets and restaurants.
A land where weather dictates everything, and where people hunt from the ocean, land, and the skies.
A native language so old that no one else can speak it, not even Google.
But this land is also home to some of the fastest internet speeds in the world. Michelin star restaurants and mobile phone coverage in every single corner of the country.
A land which is dark in the winter, bright in the summer, but always a similar temperature.
A land where mountains dramatically appear out of the ocean. And due to regular cloud coverage and 300 days of rain per year, you start to wonder if these mountains go on forever until they touch the sky.
Sounds like fiction? To us, it sounds like an adventure.
This is an Ant Podcast Management production. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast. I'm Amy.
And I'm Nick. We've been together since 2008.
And instead of saving for our future, we spent all our money on travelling.
What is a pension and should I have one?
Strap in as we take you on adventures around the world.
From the high mountaintops to reporting from under the deep blue.
There isn't anywhere we won't take you.
Where are we going today then, Amy?
Today, we're off to the Faroe Islands. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy, series one of this new series. This is crazy.
You just said series one. I mean, episode one.
Episode one of the new series. I clearly am out of practice here.
That demonstrates perfectly you're out of practice. I thought we were going to cut and start again then, but let's include...
let's go for it.
Let's include the listeners on this. If only you guys knew the trouble we've had to get to this point. We've had equipment problems. About an hour and a half ago, or maybe 2 hours ago, we decided, right, let's record. I'm now feeling like I can't be bothered to do this, but we're here now. Let's do it. We are glad, despite us getting annoyed of equipment, we are very glad to be back with a new series of What the Faux Travel Podcast, Series 5. Thank you for joining us.
We are genuinely very excited to tell you about this trip to the Faroe Islands. It's not somewhere that is immediately on people's lists, but after this episode, hopefully, it's going to be the top of your list. And we very, very much recommend this place.
It will be. It will be top of your list after you listen to this episode.
This episode is sponsored by Visit Faroe Islands.
Without their support, you wouldn't be listening to any podcast right now. It would not be possible. And although we're working with Visit Faroe Islands to bring you this podcast, you guys know us by now. We are giving you a true reflection of our honest experience visiting these islands, because without honesty and integrity, we have nothing.
Nick, what, I mean, we're out of practice. What comes first in these episodes?
I don't know. Normally, what we do at this point is some listener shout outs, but we have come to the conclusion that that's only interesting for the person getting the shout out. Everyone else probably thinks that's boring and they probably skip this part. So we're going to skip it. So do you know what we do now, Amy?
Game show facts.
Action. The Faroe Islands is a self-governing archipelago, but it's part of the Kingdom of Denmark. The Faroe Islands is not a member of the European Union, even though Denmark is. Brexiteers will be happy about that. It comprises of 18 rocky volcanic islands between Iceland and Scotland in the North Atlantic Ocean, connected by road tunnels, ferries, causeways and bridges. The population is around 55,000 and the capital city is Tórshavn. The official language is Faroese and the currency is the Danish krona. The first known settlers, according to stories passed down through generations, were Irish monks in the 6th century. The name Faroe Islands literally means sheep islands, and it lives up to that name. There are more sheep here than people. The main industry in the Faroe Islands is fishing. This sector accounts for approximately 90% of exports and about 20% of GDP. The Faroe Islands are right in the path of the Gulf Stream in the North Atlantic, meaning that temperatures remain mild and similar all year round. During the Second World War, the British military occupied the Faroe Islands. We were protecting them from the Nazis, okay? Approximately 170 marriages took place between British soldiers and Faroese women. The population of the Faroe Islands consists of 80 different nationalities. The Faroe Islands is one of the world's leading nations in producing sustainable electricity, with over 50% of the nation's electricity deriving from renewable energy sources. Why can't I say electricity? The Prime Minister's phone number is in the phone book, and there is no prison in the Faroe Islands. Prisoners being held for more than a year and a half are sent to prisons in Denmark. Phew.
Fantastic. People are a little bit obsessed with sheep, aren't they?
Yeah, you get. There's a few countries around the world, Wales and New Zealand.
All right, you're kind of stepping over what I was about to say.
What do you want to say about sheep?
I was just going to say, I feel like people are a bit too obsessed with them. Like, they judge their populations by the sheep. So, yeah. Like, Wales, New Zealand, the Faroe Islands, and they say like, oh my God, there's more sheep than people. But I don't understand why that's so surprising.
It's not really a big deal. Like, maybe there's more cows in our country than people.
Yeah.
But like, you don't hear people talk about it.
Exactly. Cows, ducks. I mean, there's a lot of puffins apparently in the Faroe Islands, which we'll talk about later. And you'll know why I'm using the word apparently. You know, spoiler, we didn't see any.
We've heard there are puffins.
But why is it not?
Did you know there are more mosquitoes in the Amazon rainforest than people?
Exactly. This is what I'm saying.
Who cares?
Anyway, good game show facts. How does it feel to be back?
Oh, really good. It feels great. No, I mean it. It sounded like I didn't mean it. It feels
being
really good
sarcastic.
To be back. Out of practice, for sure. It's been over 2 years. But game show facts, I always enjoy doing that. It's the best part of the show, isn't it?
Well.
Were there any surprising ones for you?
Well, yeah, the sheep one caught my... the PM's phone number being in the phone book.
Should we try it?
We should have given him a call.
That's what we're going to do in the show. Yeah, we'll do it later in the show. We'll call the Prime Minister.
I feel like you shouldn't say that out loud because now we're going to have to do it.
Yeah, let's try. We'll probably get an answer machine. It's a Sunday, so he's probably not working. Let's try.
Wait a minute. You're assuming it's a man.
It is a man.
Oh,
I've done
it is
my
a man.
Research.
All right, just
I tried to
checking.
Contact him before we went there to for an interview, and I got an email back saying the Prime Minister cannot participate in this.
He's too busy for us.
But you can phone him, so maybe he's not that busy. Let's try.
Okay.
All right, later in the show.
Oh, God, I'm scared. Right, now we're going to be talking to Guri.
Hi, my name is Guri Højgaard, and I'm the CEO here at Visit Faroe Islands since 10 years back.
Guri is the person helping me with language lessons on this episode, and I need the help because it's a very difficult language. I started with the basics of asking, how do you say hello?
Hey.
So that's a pretty easy one to remember. How do you say thank you?
Thank you is tak.
Is there like a really nice phrase that somebody can learn, like maybe a saying that you use here in the Faroe Islands?
One word that is very that people tend to find interesting is the word kanska, which means maybe. And when you live in an archipelago like this, where the weather is the, you know, the true ruler of the place, then many times things depend on the weather. So that's why the word kanska is very commonly used. And that's also probably why the Faroe Islands during the Second World War, it is said that it was Winston Churchill that gave the phrase, but I'm not really sure whether that's true or not. And that's when they say that the Faroe Islands is the land of maybe.
Now we live in a post-COVID world. We use that word a lot as well. Do you want to come to my birthday next month? Maybe. Or go on holiday next year? Maybe.
Kanska,
yeah. Can I just ask, so the Faroese language, do you know, like, what's its origins? Where does it come from? And is it similar to... like Danish or Norwegian or English? Like, yeah, where does it come from?
Yeah, it is. It's like the old Nordic language. And you could actually say that the Faroese language is the language that was spoken or very similar to that was spoken in the other Nordic languages, because we have been living very much more isolated than the other Nordic countries. So our language has been more, it has changed less. Or been less influenced by other countries or other languages than the other Nordic countries have. So it's quite similar to Icelandic, and it's very similar to one of the Norwegian dialects as well. And here in the Faroe Islands, we can quite easily understand most of the other Nordic languages, I would say. We start with the Danish in school in the third grade. The Danish language is very similar to the Norwegian and the Swedish language. So that's why we're very easily introduced into the other Nordic languages.
Not really a question, but more of something that I've found. So when I go to a new country, I download the language on Google Translate. And you might know that's the only language I've found wasn't on there.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And that's why we launched a campaign back in 2017 called the Faroe Islands Translate. So if you go into our webpage, you can actually write some phrases and then you can hear local Faroese people. Actually, you can see them as well because it's recorded on their mobiles, how they translate different phrases or words.
And what I love about that website is it looks like Google Translate and you can see that you've put your Faroese logo over Google's logo. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, it was a bit fun. It was a lot of fun doing it.
So as you can hear there, it's a very fascinating language. And I wanted to put out a warning now that we're not going to get all names and everything said correctly. We do apologize now to Faroese people. It's a difficult language for us to pronounce. But we're also going to be saying things phonetically as we would read them. And the reason we're doing that is so that tourists that are listening to this, if you want to head to the Faroe Islands, which we very much hope that you do, you'll know where we're talking about. For example, the capital city is called, phonetically, we would call it Tórshavn, but this is the way it's said.
Tórshavn. Tórshavn.
While we were in the tourism office talking to Guri, we thought we should take this opportunity to ask her what the Faroe Islands has to offer tourists.
Well, mainly the guests come for the nature, but they more and more also come for the culture, because they see that we do have a lot of things to offer, both in terms of music, in terms of art, design, and etc. We don't really have that many monuments. Well, I would say that the nature is our monument. We tend to say that we don't have any pyramids in the Faroe Islands. We don't really have that, but the nature is like 60 billion years old, and that's what people come here for. And also, we don't really have that many spas either. We only have one up at the Hotel Faroe. The rest is outside spa. So we like to do something differently. I don't think that our strength would be in just copying what everyone else has. And that's what we try to do in many of the things that we do offer to our guests, both in terms of one thing that we call heimablutne, which is, you could translate it to that you're welcome to come and visit people, that, you know, many times it's farmers or other people, other locals that do offer people to come home to eat at their place. And that's something that's very popular here. And we have living room concerts, which is also a very pleasant concept. So everything is really small scale. And the living room concerts are very popular as well. We even have a living room concert festival that is held in the autumn. You should actually look it up at the internet. It's really, really interesting. And so that is, of course, the opposite of a Bruce Springsteen concert at a big arena in London, O2 or something. But it can be very intimate and very, very cozy. And the quality of the artists is really high. And we even have like knitting festivals and knitting themes, which is also a trending theme at the moment these days, probably maybe because of COVID, but I think it was even before that. And, you know, these different kind of small scale experiences. And when you take boat trips here, it's mainly in smaller boats, maybe wooden boats, for instance. We have one small company operating in that area. We would really like people to come here and experience something else. I truly think that you haven't really visited the Faroe Islands. If you only visit the capital, you should definitely also go out and see the smaller islands, and then you can see the contrasts between the city, which of course in your eyes isn't a big city, and the difference, yeah, between the contrast between the capital and the outlying islands.
Yeah. Is there a particular island that you think people should head for?
I would say that the most popular one is Mykines, the westernmost island, which has a lot of puffins. But actually you can get a similar experience in other islands as well. Around the islands, Skúvoy, for instance, or Buglói or Svínoy. And also, if you visit this island right outside here of the capital of Tórshavn, Nólsoy, that's also a very nice one. And they even have a cafe and a pub where you can experience music as well sometimes. And also another one that I didn't mention, that's the island of Kalsoy, which is very famous at the moment, especially because of James Bond. Well, I don't know if everyone has seen the movie yet, so probably I shouldn't reveal that much about it.
Big spoiler that happens in the Faroe Islands.
Yeah. But something happened and hasn't happened before. And that's why, yeah, there is a certain thing out there that you can come and see if you like.
Thank you, Guri, for all that information. When she was talking then, mentioning a lot of the different names of the different islands, because we weren't able to go to every island. We only had we had 5 days in the Faroe Islands, and because we had such a busy schedule, we had a hire car, which we'd strongly recommend anyone have if you go there. And we went to different islands that you could drive to, some like over bridges or through underground tunnels. So there are plenty of islands that you can't drive to, and you have to get a boat. It's the only way. Well, you could helicopter if you have a lot of money.
Who do you think listens to this podcast?
Hey, you never know. I think you're doing our listeners a disservice.
Sorry, guys.
I'm sure plenty of our listeners could afford a helicopter. But really, you need a boat. And if the weather's bad, then you can't get there. And that's why some of these islands, they're so remote. They have such tiny communities. Not many people live there, because that doesn't appeal to a lot of people, potentially being cut off from the rest of the world for, you know, sometimes weeks if the weather's bad. So you get some islands where literally like 12 people live there, which is amazing. The people that do live there love it. Like, that's why they live there, because they like the isolation. But it's making me think of this book that I'm reading because of our trip to the Faroe Islands. I came across it. You remember Guri talking about earlier, Kanska?
Kanska, that's the word for maybe.
Maybe, and how the Faroe Islands is known as the land of maybe. I'm holding this up to the camera for people watching on YouTube. Is it backwards? I think it is. Anyway.
No, it's correct.
Good. There you go.
That's it. Get it in there. So Tim Eacott, The Land of Maybe, A Faroe Islands Year.
And from reading this book, I'm really being able to appreciate these islands that we couldn't go to and just how remote they are. And like, that's kind of what's special about the Faroe Islands, the remoteness. A lot of the places we went to, although amazing, stunning and beautiful, you know, a 2-hour flight from Edinburgh, hire a car, you can get to these places quite easily. But I think the real magic of the Faroe Islands is these remote places that are not easy to get to.
Absolutely. And I really appreciated it. I mean, there were times where later on, we're going to be talking to someone who runs a surf school, which you wouldn't expect in the Faroe Islands. But we were in that town and we were hungry. We were looking for somewhere to find some food. And there were no restaurants. And no, we don't believe there were any shops there.
No restaurant. The people that live there, just like, they live off the land.
And yeah, I'm sure we'll get more into it later. But I just have such an appreciation that people live off the land. They think it's weird that we go to supermarkets. And to be honest, they're right. It's unnatural for us to be walking into a supermarket, being able to get food from all over the world. Not to go too deep into it, but that's why we're in this crisis. You know, this is with global warming and sustainability. That's why these are all buzzwords at the moment. So yeah, going to the Faroe Islands, if you're somebody who's really into nature and hiking and living off the land, this is the place for you for sure.
I read in this book, some of the villagers make fun of people in the capital because they go to supermarkets and like they go to cafes and things like that. And that just seems so normal to us, but it's not for a lot of these people. People still live this way, which I thought didn't happen anymore.
We had the famous restaurant Cox. It's a bit difficult pronunciation in English.
Yeah. More on the Cox restaurant in a few minutes. But we first met Siggy at the Paname Cafe in central Tórshavn, or should I say Tórshavn. It's a trendy little bustling coffee shop with a farmhouse interior. And after a drink and a football chat, which obviously I loved, we headed to the local library to ask him about a problem that the Faroe Islands have had to overcome in recent years.
My name is Sigurjón Einarsson, and I'm a journalist for Dimmalathing, the oldest newspaper in the Faroes, Dawn in English. Many of the young people moved away and still do, but now they come back after education and so. But people have always traveled abroad for studying and for work. So it's quite, we call it good old brain drain. That's an issue here as well. And it became an issue for about 10, 15 years ago that they saw a negative development that too much of the youth were traveling away and they would rather work other places than here. So they set up some initiatives, some experts. I think they had about 50 initiatives how to get people to stay here and maybe get people back. One of those were to have more education here. So the university, the Faroese University, a small university, they have more courses now and then take their masters abroad. Because scientific research says that if you're only abroad 2 years, then you have more tendency to move back to the where you come from. Instead, if you were abroad 5-6 years, then people have met someone and they have kids. They won't move back because they have a family, another place.
That's normally the culprit. Normally, if you fall in love, you'll do anything. You'll learn a language or move house for someone, won't you?
Yeah. But also business-wise, I think there was a change about 10 years ago. The Nordic cuisine and the Nordic became more in, more popular. I think it was an eye-opener for the Faroese people as well. Okay, we can do something. We can be part of this Nordic. Nordic is cool. So more businesses have been started here. More ET, that's computing, computer science and such. We have more restaurants now in Tor7 than we have had before, which sell Faroese food. Before it was only steak and all the food you can get elsewhere. But now they have more specialized in the Faroese cuisine, fish, lamb. Just 15 years ago, there were people from Germany, Denmark, England, who asked us, where can I get your local fish in the restaurant? It wasn't possible 15 years ago. But because of the Nordic mindset, Nordic is cool. We have something specific here. People began to do more our own foods and getting the good fish that's very popular abroad to serve that fish here. So we start seeing also people from abroad traveling to here. We had the famous restaurant Cox. It's a bit difficult pronunciation in English. but we have people who travel from far by private jet and everything just to eat and then travel away.
Wow.
So. Because am I right in thinking it's got a Michelin star?
Two Michelin stars.
Oh, so two.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So people fly here on a private jet because they love Cox.
Exactly.
So does Cox mean something in Faroese?
It means cooking, but a shortage for cooking.
Right.
So we don't know what's going to happen with that restaurant because they're in Greenland for this period, this autumn, and they will be in Copenhagen this winter. I don't know where they will be here in the Faroes because the place that they were, they can't be there anymore. And they were trying to build a new restaurant, but they weren't allowed to do that. So that's a big issue right now here in the Faroes. That area they pointed out, the people who owned it and the authorities said, no, you can't build it there. So now it's quite up in the air what's going to happen with our famous restaurant.
More from Ziggy soon, but while we're talking about restaurants and food, we want to give a mention to some restaurants that we visited in Tórshavn. We were very impressed, weren't we, Amy?
We really were. Like, I'd say if you're a foodie, if that's why you travel, you definitely need to go to the Faroe Islands because you just heard there's a restaurant with 2 Michelin stars, but actually the fine dining in the Faroe Islands is actually insane. I feel like they really care about the food, but it's not kind of up yourself dining where fine dining where you have to wear like proper nice clothes and you feel uptight when you're in there. The ambiance and the vibe that's in there, everything's really nice and calm, and it's just, this is my favorite type of restaurant. It's about the food. Obviously you want the restaurant to look nice, you want the decor, all of that, but you want to put people at ease. And I really feel like every single restaurant we went to in the Faroe Islands did that.
And they were all just kind of like really nice, cozy places that kind of where you'd get inside, where it's cold outside, get all cozy. And it's quite casual. It's not very formal. But some of the food on offer was amazing. I've actually never had bread that with so much, just bread, no butter. Like, I didn't realize bread had so much flavor.
Yeah.
Like what we're used to buying in the supermarket. But that's the first thing I was impressed with. But the first restaurant we went to was a place called Arstova. Yeah, phonetically.
Do you want to spell it out?
Yeah. Cause... Double A. That's a curveball. A-A-R-S-T-O-V-A. Arstova. I have to say it in a farmer accent.
I actually have no idea how you would say Arstover. It in Faroese. But yeah, that was the first one we went to and we were very impressed.
Very impressed. We've seen reviews, you know, like we read online, people have been going crazy for cocks. You know, who doesn't love cocks? But some people have said, oh, this restaurant, Arstova, this is the best one on the island. Like, I'm not saying that was our opinion, but that's what we've read. It's that good. And I think I remember a lamb in there being particularly good.
Oh yeah, the lamb. And also some of you might know, I'm not sure if I mentioned it on previous series, but for allergy reasons I have to be gluten free, and I just think it's good for any travelers out there, because traveling when you have an allergy is an absolute nightmare, because lack of communication, if you can't speak the same language, you can't check what the ingredients and all of that. But I would say it was relatively easy, well especially in restaurants, it was easy to be gluten-free. Any chef was happy to adapt for me. So don't think I'm a hipster, because legally I'm not allowed to eat gluten. No, I've been told by a gastroenterologist. I get so much grief from people. They think I'm just being a hipster, but I'm not. I actually do have an allergy, so I can't eat it.
They always say to you, like, yeah, oh, is it an allergy?
Or are you just being funny about it?
Just being difficult.
But I didn't get that in the Faroe Islands, so that's good.
They're very good.
Tick for Faroe Islands.
So that recommendation, yeah, all these restaurants are in Tórshavn, because as soon as you get out of the capital, you go to villages that don't have restaurants. So it's all in the capital city. Another place we went to, which I was so impressed with, was, and I mentioned places are cozy Katrina Christiansen. I can pronounce that one. Do you remember that one, Amy?
I do remember that one, because I had that like charcuterie board.
Oh yeah, well, meats and cheese.
Which was insane. It had like fig jam on there. Like, oh, it was just so nice.
And I had like a 5-course meal. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, you had a tasting menu.
It was so good.
Now, thinking about price, I'm sure you're thinking, because it's a kind of Nordic country, it's going to be quite expensive. And I would say if you've been to Denmark, that's definitely more expensive. Like we said, the Faroe Islands use the Danish krona. But we do think value for money, particularly in the restaurants, the quality of food that you get, it's a good price.
Yeah, like that cozy Katrina restaurant I just mentioned, where it's such a nice place. The building has got such character. We had a great meal. We were really well looked after. I had a 5-course menu for £57, which I know, yeah, it's not cheap, but that's not crazy expensive at all for really good, high quality food in a really nice restaurant. I think in a Nordic country like that, £57 is good value.
And actually, one of our last nights, we went into that Thai restaurant. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And we kind of got a takeaway of a few different dishes. I think that came round to about £40 for both of us.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, £20 each.
Yeah. And again, it's actually some of the best Thai food I've ever had, despite being on like an island millions of miles away from Thailand. It was very good. But I'm not sure if we're mentioning this later in a particular section, but there is a big Thai or Asian community in the Faroe Islands.
I believe Ziggy is about to tell us about that.
Oh, well, I'll shut up then. Let's get back to Ziggy.
Is it true? I've heard it's difficult if you're a man to find a wife.
Or a woman who wants to find a wife.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Anyone who wants to find a wife, it's difficult, right? And why is that?
Around the world... It's almost majority of women in every country, but here in the Faroes, it's the opposite around. We are more men than women. More women move abroad, more opportunities. Yeah, that's an issue here. And the way people have coped with that issue is that we see more men traveling to the Far East to get women from there. Some make commitments online or meet them online, and then they move here, and we see quite a lot of Asian people here, you know, Asian women. Like they're also a workforce in the primary sector of taking care of fish in the fish factories. So quite a lot of Asians are working there as well.
Interesting. And do you think, is this an arrangement where actually is best for both that, okay, in this scenario, a man and a woman, it's best for both of them because the man has a wife, but the woman enjoys a more secure, like a better life here in the Faroe Islands. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, We have had some issues with some domestic violence of these women who come here. Maybe the men aren't that nice that they should be. But yeah, they move here because maybe a better life, because many of them, they send money back to the home country, to their families. We know that for a fact. But the cases where there is domestic violence, I think we, the Faroes, we need to look more into that. What kind of home are we presenting them when they come here?
So moving, well, kind of staying with Faroese people, but in your opinion, what is characteristic of Faroese people? What are they like in general?
Yeah, we're not so Northern European like everyone else. I think we have more like South European mindset, like mañana, mañana. If not today, then tomorrow. Because everything around in the Faroes evolves around what kind of weather we have. You may look outside, it's great weather. Okay, I'm going to do this today. But 5 minutes later, it's raining cats and dogs. And you have to do something else. So the Faroes are quite... That's normal for us, that we can adjust how the weather is. But for people who come here as tourists, or a lot of Danish people live here as well, they have it quite difficult the first week or two, because we tend to say that the Danish are living by the calendar. They look at the calendar, well, at this day at 5 o'clock, I will do this. And they can't, because it's a storm outside, so... So we say to the Danish, take your calendar, put it away. You're in the Faroes now. Relax and take it as it comes. So that's kind of our mindset.
So you lived in Copenhagen, which I know is quite common for Faroese people to do. You don't need a passport to even go to Denmark. First of all, did you enjoy your experience there? And why have you decided to come back home?
I was living a happy life in Copenhagen, wife, kids, and the car, and the apartment. But then COVID came, knocking on the door. The work I had, we were, now a third of us got the sack.
Oh, wow.
So we were, it was very strange working there. And then I got an opportunity here, and I applied for the job, and I got it. So I said, okay, wife, sweet wife, my Danish sweet wife, how would you like to say if we move to the Faroes? And she had to think, and she had to rethink, and she said, okay, let's do it. Because we weren't that affected by the COVID here. We had quite a normal life, even though COVID was all around us. And so we moved back here, and we lived a quite normal life, actually. Not affected by the COVID.
Is there any crime here? Do you lock your houses? Do you need to lock your front door?
You don't know where I live, but I don't lock. No, we don't. Sometimes my wife said, "Oh, did you remember to lock it?" I said, "No, I forgot." But we don't lock our houses. So
interesting.
So, but if a thief should come here and steal anything, we would know who it would be. So, yeah. And they can't get away from off the islands.
Yeah,
because off the island, people will soon find out who the thief was.
You've got the best neighborhood watch in the world.
Yeah, I think so. It's very, yeah, the social control is quite big here. So,
wow. Yeah. Well, where we live in the UK, in Manchester, we love it, but you need to lock your house. Absolutely.
Well, no, thank you very much for talking to us. And I just wanted to finish with saying I'm really happy that your wife said yes to moving here and you're not divorced.
Yeah, I was worried that story was going to a sad ending.
I'll keep you on your seat.
Edge of our seats.
Siggy, he was a bit of a lad, wasn't he? He doesn't lock his door. If you want to know, his address is 12 Faroe Road, Faroe Islands. He was good, wasn't he?
We really enjoyed our chat with Siggy. He is, he was a lad.
I liked it. He's like, please, sweet wife, will you move to Faroes with me? And good for him speaking up against violence against women as well.
Absolutely.
Go on, Siggy. Good guy.
Now let's move on to another very interesting guy, Christian.
So we knocked on your fridge, sorry.
It's okay. It's a protected house, so we can't change the outside of the house.
Wow.
Okay.
It's got it's an amazing character. It's a beautiful house.
Come in.
Should we take our shoes off?
Yeah. You've been here for a while then, you know that.
Well, we do the same in our house.
It's really dirty though. We've been away for 3 weeks in New Zealand, so
Oh, nice.
Amazing.
As you can hear, we got a little bit lost, and rather than knocking on the front door of Christian's house, I knocked on their fridge, which sounds strange and hard to believe, but it happened. Let's move on. We are here to meet Christian.
Hello, my name is Christian Black, and I'm one of the founders of the record company that is the musician's record company. It's called Tootl.
Yeah, so firstly, can I ask, what is Tootl?
Well, the name is the sound of rippling waves and rippling small stream. So it's a poetic title of the record company. We have had some recordings in the jazz club in the 70s. In that jazz club, we released LPs. After 2 years with quite some activity, 10 recordings, we thought it was better to make out of these recordings a dedicated label. And that's how it started.
So what does it look like today? It's a record shop.
Well, the shop is part of the record label. It's not two different things. And that's also where we work. Our shopkeepers, of course, but most of the time they are making promotion of music that we release in the Faroe Islands, and it's a lot to do, more than we have time to.
What genres of music are people making here in the Faroe Islands?
The majority of the releases is indie, singer-songwriters, and rock, metal. But the other genres are very much alive, classical and jazz and folk music. And ethnic music is very important for us because to make documentation of the ancient music from here is also very important.
Is it all in the language, Faroese? Or if someone wants to be popular, do they make music in English? When I say popular, I mean popular around the world.
The idea is that if you want to connect to the rest of the world, you have to express yourself in English. But it has proved not to be necessary. Many of those that sing in Faroese, they have a popularity. The best known female singer is Ivor, and the best selling, not selling, but the most listened to tune is in Faroese, the Tröllabunden. No, it's simply so good that you can't avoid falling in love with that tune.
So your wife is, I'm assuming, she is your wife, yeah. She's giving you a prompt on the piece of paper and it says, Marius? Who's Marius?
Marius is a singer-songwriter. He has quite a following, not in the same amount as international well-known, but he began as an English language singer and is doing all his recordings now in Faroese. If you express yourself in English, you jump in among tens of millions of others. If you're singing in your own language, so small a language as the Faroese, you're one out of maybe 100. And if it's good enough musically, then a lot of people in the world don't focus so much on the language.
So on our way here, we walked past Tootl. I hope I'm saying it wrong, but there we go. Obviously, we're tourists here. Can anyone go in and listen to music, or is there any way that we can go and interact with the label/store?
You can go into the shop and listen to all the music that you can, and you can ask the people in the shop for any advice. Many come into the store and say, we would like to hear some Faroese music. Yeah, we only have Faroese music.
I definitely think I got the name of his record label completely wrong when we were there. But to be fair, it's like the first time I'd heard someone say it. But I think I've got it down now. I think we should have a mini competition of who can say it better.
I'm up for it.
And any Faroese people listening, then please get in touch and vote who got it right. So Tootl, that's how I say it in English. That's the word that we're saying. Okay, so this is my go. Ready? Tootl. No, I know that was wrong.
No.
No, that was totally wrong. I need another try. Wait. Tutl.
Almost. I think it's more like tutl. Tutl.
Tutl.
Tutl.
Tutl. Yeah,
that's what it is.
Okay, right. This is my official entry into the competition. Tutl.
Tutl.
Oh, they were two very good ones, actually.
Some good tootling.
So if you're Faroese, let us know who won that competition.
So it turns out Christian not only can talk the talk, he can walk the walk as well. He got some skills on the piano. The things those fingers can do.
I thought you were going to say not only can he talk the talk, he can play the play.
He can play the pipe. Yeah, play the play. Not talk the talk, play the play. He's got skills.
Just beautiful.
It was really good. We were so impressed with his piano playing skills. Honestly, it was so nice. And just as we were saying our goodbyes, Christian handed Amy a CD.
I think he's given it to you. I think,
oh, really?
I think
oh,
said,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. And this too.
Oh, my gosh.
And that. And like an LP, like record.
Yeah, yeah, but this is just the...
Wow.
This is the remix one.
Yeah.
It's very nice of you.
Yeah, it's very nice of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We've got two presents.
Yeah.
Wow. Hi. Are you Mariana?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, Nick and Amy.
Amy.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, my name is Mariana Winter, and I am a singer, songwriter, and artist from the Faroe Islands.
Now, Mariana not only works at Christian's record shop, Tutl, but she's also a signed artist with them. Today in the studio, she's joined by her guitarist, producer, and boyfriend, which is all the same person, by the way, Arachna. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that correctly. Apologies if I didn't. So Arachna for What the Faux exclusive performance of her brand new single, Consequences.
Now, what you're about to hear is exactly what we heard. This was recorded while we were there in front of us, and she did it in one take. And I don't know what you were expecting, Amy. I don't know what I was expecting of Faroese music, but this wasn't it.
I'm darkened by the things I've seen, don't you know? I can't seem to fight the urge to fuck with my soul. I don't deal with feelings, rather pick up and go. I'm never at fault, cause I'm a lady at heart. And I do things for myself, you do it for the numbers. Tell me there's no one else, but your smile makes me wonder. Deceive me, believe me, doubt me. I'll steal your friends and spill your secrets. They'll be. You called my bluff, but now you're sleeping alone. Cause you know I don't like to speak on the phone. Not dumb enough to let you string me along. Cause I'm out of your zone, star of the show. Go play on your own, I gotta go. Go play on your own, I gotta go. Go play on your own, I gotta go. Deceive me, believe me, they'll be. I'll steal your friends and spill your secrets, they'll be. The way I always fought down, you knew about. I'll steal your puppy and make you love me.
I'm obsessed. So before we played, Nick just said, I'm not sure what you're thinking, Amy, but yeah, I mean, Nick set this up, so I didn't know what was going on. He was just like, oh, we've got this local Faroese person and they are given us a show of local music. So I actually really was going in expecting kind of like folk, old school music.
Could have been some bloke playing the spoons.
Absolutely. I was ready for anything. And I kid you not, I am not just saying this. I never thought in a million years I would find like my perfect artist. And I don't use the word perfect very often. This is exactly the style of music that I love. Female singer, female empowerment, like really sassy R&B soul kind of thing. And I thought it was great. But Nick, can you just tell me your favorite line in that song? Because you sing it quite a lot actually around the house.
I steal your puppy and make you love me. Consequences.
So yeah, I mean, Mariana, if you're listening, you've probably noticed on Spotify that you've had quite a few more downloads or streams on Spotify in Manchester, England. That's because I keep playing your music around the house.
We were so impressed. She was so good.
Yeah. And Arachna as well. Like, he's an absolute natural on the guitar. But let's find out a little bit more about them.
A question to both of you, really. A musician, singer, songwriter, growing up here in the Faroe Islands, what is a realistic goal or dream? Is it to be like famous here in the Faroe Islands, famous in Europe, famous in the world?
Goal is definitely to get the music as far out there as possible, which today is as well through like publishing and sync and TV shows and movies and stuff like that, but also playing live around the world as much as possible. Right now, we're playing a lot in the Faroe Islands. We've played a couple of gigs in Copenhagen and hopefully doing a UK show next year as well.
Yeah, we have really great connections with like showcase festivals. So it's really easy to get from here to showcase festivals around the world. So yeah, it's the world is definitely a possibility for any band here.
I want to know, where's the UK show? Because I want to come to it, please.
Yeah, you have a new number one fan.
I am so happy. The UK show, I can't disclose yet because it's not 100% yet. Okay. It's like at that 90% maybe. Mm. But I will let you know as soon as I know.
Backstage passes?
Yeah, definitely. You can come do a podcast on my concert, just like about me.
Yeah.
Right? You can name the podcast something else, right? What the Mariana? Or
no, sorry.
Mariana.
Yeah.
The podcast.
Exactly.
Has anyone told you this before? I can hear in your voice, and maybe this is where some of your inspiration or influence has come from. I think when you sing, and actually when you talk as well, it sounds like you have a bit of an American accent. Have you heard that before?
I do. I am half American. So I was born in LA. My dad's American. And Faroese in a sense, kind of. And my mother's Faroese. So I was born in LA and moved to the Faroe Islands when I was 3. And still go back and forth like once to twice a year to visit my family over there.
Wow. I mean, those are two very different places. Yeah. Can you comment on that? Or like what you like about each place and maybe things you don't like? Like, yeah, are you happy living here in the Faroe Islands?
I'm really happy living here, especially now. I feel like when I was younger, it was kind of tough because you like have this other country you usually visit where there's a lot happening and it just like it's bigger and there's a lot of cultural stuff. Whereas in the Faroe Islands, it didn't used to be so interesting. We didn't even have a lot of cafes or restaurants or concerts and stuff like that like 5 years ago. So a lot of things have changed the past years, and also through the pandemic, it's definitely been like you just feel like extremely grateful that you live in a country where you're so well off, both like with the politics and yeah, infrastructure and everything, but also just that we're so isolated in a way kind of came in handy at that time. So now I'm really happy to be here. It's definitely a difference. And I feel like my music doesn't really sound like Faroese music normally. Like Faroese music would be a bit more, I want to say like cold or like gray, and kind of you would kind of hear the dark winters that we have and the storms and everything. Whereas mine is a bit more sunshine California in a way, I think, which is how I describe the music as well. It's kind of like the heat from LA with a little bit of Nordic winds or whatever you want to call it. Winter. Yeah. Winter. Yeah.
I have a question about growing up here in the Faroe Islands, which actually isn't about music. Okay, you'll understand this. Coming from a big country with millions of people to then living here, growing up, when I say growing up, maybe teenagers, early 20s, is it difficult to like date, find a boyfriend, find a girlfriend, because the population's so small. Is that an issue, or am I being silly for thinking that would be a problem?
I feel like it's definitely a part of the culture. Like, you're joking about, oh, we're probably like fourth cousins or something. And you probably are most of the time. But it's helped that a lot of people have gotten, like, have met people outside as well to kind of regenerate our bloodlines and everything. It's very good for the country and for everyone. So in a way, kind of, I think, yeah, it's something that we joke about, which it's kind of also real, but it's not a big problem, I think.
Any dating problems for you, or have you never had a problem dating?
I've been dating this one for 6 years now. Oh,
you're together? We didn't know.
No problems at all.
No,
cool.
Not yet.
We're lucky.
Yeah.
It's always good to find out that you're not dating your cousin, right?
It is. Well, for a future episode, we've done a DNA test, but I'm not going to tell the listeners now if it turns out me and Amy are related or not.
Yeah, you're going to have to just wait for that episode to work that one out. But no, this can actually be quite a problem in small nations. Like when we were in Iceland, we found out that they have an app that if, say, you're out on a night out and you meet someone, you think, hey, I like this person, I kind of want to go home with them, you can check on the app if you are genetically related, which is funny, but it's also very much needed, right?
I think it's fascinating. And, you know, living where we live, as most people do in big countries with, you know, millions and millions of people, it's not a problem that we have to think about, but other countries do. I think it's really interesting. That's it for part one of our Faroe Islands adventure.
This is what's coming up in part two.
Where is everybody? Like, we just heard about these people, like maybe gays and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very controversial.
There's no bad men like Prince Andrew wandering around.
And on the top, there where you can see the green grass, there is a puffin colony, but unfortunately just now without puffins.
If you start surfing here, you can surf anywhere in the world.
Skull.
Skull.
We'll see you there. Before we wrap this up, we've got a question for you.
Is your boy Tarquin going on a gap year?
Is your gal pal Rachel off to eat, pray, love herself silly?
Then the best way to support this show is to share it with all your travel buddies.
Thanks, bye.